Dave, thanks a lot. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. On Fridays, we check in with Alexander Zelbin. He is the managing editor of Decider.com. Are you a TV fan? Then listen up, because Alex knows stuff that you don't. Hi, Alex. How are you?
All right. I don't know if I know tons of stuff.
You know, a couple of things that other people don't know.
All right.
I want to start out with this. As you know, both Wendy and I are huge fans of The Walking Dead. I read an article that says that the actress who plays Michonne is leaving the show. Do you know anything about that? Is she leaving?
She reportedly is leaving, but it's going to be a while. She's still going to be on this season. She seems to probably be on at least part of the next season as well, so you still got a little time with her. But, you know, she has a big movie career now. She's doing really well in other places, and she probably will end up on these Andrew Lincoln, Rick Grimes movies that are happening.
Yeah.
So the fan theory right now is that Michonne heads off to look for Rick, and then ends up in this trilogy of movies that reportedly will be happening at some point on AMC. So she's not going to leave the universe necessarily, but it will downsize the amount of time that she has to spend on the show.
Yeah.
So that she can pursue her movie career and the big things that are happening in her life.
I don't like this new way of revealing that. I mean, now with social media, we know in advance. I don't want to know. I mean, I almost feel like some catastrophic thing should happen, and then they announce, oh, I'm going to a new series.
Yeah.
I don't like knowing that.
It's particularly tough with an enormous show like Walking Dead because they can't get away with it. You know, with a smaller show, the actors aren't under the microscope as much, but everybody is watching where Norman Reedus is going all the time. If Andrew Lincoln wasn't on set of The Walking Dead, we'd know immediately. So for better or for worse, they got to get out in front of that stuff. And I agree with you. It's a bummer from the story perspective.
But if you're the producers of a show like that, and I know their ratings have been down the last couple of years, but you've got to be a little bit nervous. You've lost 4 major cast members in the last year. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. I was thinking about it without getting into spoilers, watching this Sunday's episode, which, again, very good, and there's some great sequences in it. But back when I was on set during the 100th episode, I threw by Gala and her, the producer, and I said, you know, I could see a world where The Walking Dead basically becomes Grey's Anatomy, except with zombies, right?
Yeah.
That you go 14 years, you rotate through the cast, and I think, I'm not taking any credit for this at all, but I think that's kind of the route that they're going, and in a weird way, I appreciate that, it doesn't feel like it's hooked on one person. It's more the concept, it's more the world evolving, and I personally actually really enjoyed this season so far. I think it's one of the best ones they've done in a really long time.
I agree, and I don't even miss Rick. I'm not missing Lauren Conrad. I'm not missing these people, really.
All right.
There's enough going on. Yeah. And Dan Fogler makes it for me, quite honestly. I love him. He kills me.
Yeah, it's a little tough as a longtime fan of the series. I haven't quite hooked into all of the new characters yet. Somebody like a Dan Fogler, who you know from Screen, you know from Fantastic Beasts and other movies, it's a little easier to hook into him. But
yeah.
They're doing a good job of fleshing out the cast, and the situations are fun, and it's scary again, which is nice, so that's great.
All right, here's another topic that you didn't have on your list of things to discuss, but it could potentially be big news. Milo Ventimiglia is saying that This Is Us will end after season 6.
What?
Yeah, do you know anything about this?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've heard as well, and I actually think that's a reasonable thing for the show to do. You know, they're telling the story to get back to what we were talking about with Walking Dead. They have huge stars on that show, and they've only gotten bigger over the course of This Is Us. I actually think it's a really bold move to say, we're telling the stories we need to tell. The show is clearly in a creative high right now, you know, even more so than season 1. So go out on top. But that said, there's still a couple of seasons to go, I believe. Another 2 seasons or so before they start to wrap things up.
Now, I know this will sound crazy, but I like knowing in advance with something like this how the story, and it's probably better for them as they're creating story arcs to know how much time is left, don't you think?
Yeah, I always think about what they talked about on Lost, which This Is Us is not necessarily Lost, but in a funny way, given the flashback, given the mysteries that they weave into the show, it is very similar. And they always talked about how they hit this rut about 3-4 seasons in. Everybody talks about the Jack's Tattoo episode of Lost, where Damon Lindelof and Carl Hughes realized they didn't know where they were going. And the network giving them an ending, saying you are going to end at, I think, season 6, which is about the same as what This Is Us is doing, let them aim towards that end point. So as you were saying, as a showrunner, it's actually a really refreshing thing, even if sometimes it's a bummer for the fans.
The Academy Awards are Sunday night. This always was one of the biggest nights of the year for people who watch TV. Is it still going to be?
It's going to be a mess, you guys, and I'm very excited. As anybody who's been following us closely knows, there's no host for the show because of controversies that happen in the background, but also now there's all these rumors about maybe there's a secret host. Whoopi Goldberg has been suspected as maybe the secret host who's going to surprise show up at the show. But at the same time, if they're doing that, how are they planning the jokes? How are they planning the bits? All of the movies, normally in the lead up to an Oscars, you could say, okay, here's the front runner. Here's what's going to win everything. It's all over the place right now. Almost every one of the Best Picture winners either has a knock against it in terms of not being nominated in the regular categories, or it's won major awards, or there's controversies around it, like Green Book, and we'll see what happens. I know there's a lot to throw out there, but I don't know how the viewership is necessarily going to be, but as somebody who watches the Oscars every year, I'm kind of fascinated to see if they pull it off in any way,
right,
or if it is, in fact, the world's biggest train wreck.
How are the ratings? How have they been?
Because, declining.
Because all I know now is, honestly, with the invent of the internet, it's so easy.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I don't want that time suck. I can just go see the highlights like later on that night.
Well, particularly for something like last year's, where there weren't really any big pictures nominated for anything, they went down exponentially, and they have been declining for years. The hope from ratings junkies is that having something like a Black Panther that was an enormous hit, or Roma, which isn't necessarily an enormous hit, but it was on Netflix, so potentially even more people saw it than, say, The Favorite, for example, that might drive more viewership, might drive more interest, but I don't know. Personally, I'm a little iffy on it. I think it's going to be even a little further down just because of exactly what you're saying. You can find out instantly on Twitter, see the best jokes on Twitter, find out about it on Facebook later. It's just not as necessary to tune in.
But the one thing that made it so you'd want to see it live and tune in would be whoever the host was and the way they handled any surprise moments. And when you take the host out of that equation, it takes all the fun out of it. It takes the surprise element out of it.
Yeah, and you still, listen, their lineup of presenters is great, of course, because everybody wants to come and do that. So you're going to get to see big stars, the red carpet, you'll see amazing looks and all of those things. But I do think you're right. If a host is a surprisingly undervalued part of the show, as annoying as it can be sometimes, a host is somebody who brings it together, provides a through line that you can hook into when you're watching a show like that.
And as for the idea that they might throw in a surprise host, most notably Whoopi Goldberg, she has not been on The View this week, and they've treated her absence in a strange way. They keep saying she's not feeling well, she'll be back soon, but just the way they're saying it leads you to believe there could be something up. I don't know that they would pull that off, but maybe.
Yeah, I can see that, and that's something I wish they wouldn't do that, because to the point that you made earlier, I think they could drive more tune in by saying, surprise, we got Whoopi Goldberg,
who
generally people like and they love as a host, versus it'll be a great moment if she comes out and says, surprise, I'm the host on the show. But by that point, most people are going to find out about that hours later after the show is over.
Yeah.
I think that defeats a little bit of the purpose.
So true.
And it's Lauren Cohan. Sorry, it's not Lauren Conrad that I said before.
Why
did neither of you correct me?
Because we're gentlemen, Wendy. That's
she's
why.
She's also leaving The Walking Dead.
Yes.
Lauren Conrad will not be on The Walking Dead.
She's gone. She's gone. All right.
Thank you, texter.
More with Alexander Zelbin from Decider.com after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. And our guest, Alexander Zelbin, who is the managing editor of Decider.com. Alex, you have some news about The Haunting that's going to make Wendy very, very happy.
Are you there, Alex? Let me try one more thing.
Oh, wait. I'm
there you are.
There
my ear pressed mute on my phone.
Oh, you there you are.
Now?
Yeah, you're fine. What is this news that will make Wendy so happy?
Yes, Haunting of Hill House, one of the best shows of last year, is coming back, kind of. So you're going to have to wait until 2020. It is from the same behind-the-scenes people, and it may feature some of the actors, but it's not a continuation of the story. It's actually an adaptation of a new scary story, The Turn of the Screw by Henry James.
Ah, yeah.
So This time the series will be called The Haunting of Bly Manor, and it seems like, at least as far as we know, it's going to have the same sort of sense as the first series. They're going to be treating it as an anthology going forward. And my guess is because Mike Flanagan is the director behind it again, he has a tendency to use a lot of the same actors and bring them back for other projects. So it'll almost be like, let's say, a classier American Horror Story where you'll have this troop of actors coming back season after season, is my guess at the current time.
Don't you think it's better, Wendy, this way, that where they're introducing a whole new storyline? I think that's way better.
Although I still don't feel it's going to be as good as the last one.
No?
I hope so.
Yeah, I will say, I was not totally aware of the source material, Turn of the Screw. You know, I knew the name, but I hadn't read the book. But as soon as that was revealed here in the office, Kayla Cobb, one of our writers, is a huge fan of that book, as well as The Haunting. And she told me a little bit and posted a thing about the Bly Manor story, about Turn of the Screw. It's pretty messed up. So there's a lot of psychologically deep, upsetting stuff that they can get into, just like they did on the first season. So I'm excited.
You know, what's funny is I had seen, there was a movie version of Turn of the Screw sometime in the early 60s, mid-60s, and I've seen that, and it's reminiscent of Haunting of Hill House. There's a lot of similarities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does feel like, again, this is just from the information that was shared with me yesterday, but it does feel like it's tonally similar. And certainly what they did with Hill House is they updated things. They made it feel a little more current. They feel fresh and new. And I think they'll do the same thing with Turn of the Screw. And for anybody who didn't check out Hill House, it is legitimately one of the scariest things I've ever seen in my life, but so worth watching.
Yeah.
Fun. All right, our news guy Steve Bertrand is in here. Do you have a question for Alex Haldeman?
I always miss this segment because I'm out of the office studio. But So I just started watching, Alex, The Informer on Amazon. And what do you think of that show?
You know, I haven't actually watched it yet. It's one of those things that's on my list to check out. But I hear good things.
What's it about?
It's great.
It's about a British guy of Pakistani origin, and the police pick on him out of the blue, sort of. He gets arrested on a minor drug charge, and they choose him to become an informant to try to find Muslim extremists in London.
Oh, that sounds great. Where is that, Steve?
It's on Amazon, and I've watched just the first three episodes. Love it a lot.
I know that, Alex, you were talking about Russian Doll. Is that the name of it?
Mm-hmm.
I gave it a whirl, and I don't know how I feel. I watched the first episode, and it's like, it's intrigued me. I'm going to go to episode two, but I don't know that I... Does it get better?
So here's my recommendation about it, and I've certainly... I will couch this in. I absolutely love the show. I think it's well done. It made me laugh a lot. It gets very emotional and interesting. If you're iffy about the show, at the very least, check out through episode four.
Right.
And I always hesitate to say that because I'm not saying it gets good by episode four. If you don't like the tone of it, you'll probably continue to not like it. But the plot takes a turn on episode four that brings a lot of what's going on into focus.
Okay.
Where the first three episodes are exploring the Groundhog Day of it all, the themes and ideas become a little clearer. There's a what-the-heck moment that happens towards the end there that I think should hook you, or possibly not.
Interesting. Alex, your thoughts on this? We've talked about the show True Detective on HBO. I think it's fantastic. Very reminiscent of season one, this season, season three is. And then in the last episode, they referenced the crime that took place in season one. They show a newspaper headline with the two actors, Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson, and their characters from season one. I thought that was a very interesting touch.
Yeah, I like that a lot, too, and I think that's a smart thing to do, particularly because they're different cases, but there's a lot of parallels in terms of the plot. Certainly, at the beginning of season three, it felt like they're almost doing a redo of season one in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So to call that out, I think, was a really, really smart thing to do. And it'll be interesting to see, because the show has done well, I think there will be a season four at some point, whether they'll start to tie those things in a little closer or if they're just Easter eggs.
Excellent. And we can't let you go without you telling us what you know about Leaving Neverland.
I have to see that.
This is coming up very soon, right? This weekend, aren't they? Isn't that when they're showing it?
Yeah, it's premiering. It's actually 2 weekends from now. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's all right.
It's on HBO, I believe, on Sunday, March 3rd, the first part premieres. And then the second part is the next night on HBO, Monday, March 4th. But our reviewer, Leah Palmieri, saw it. She was very hesitant. For those who don't know about it, it delves very deeply into Michael Jackson and his background and controversies surrounding him and legal cases. She said it's an extremely hard watch. It's 4 hours long, so it's definitely a big commitment of time. But by the end of it, she said it's absolutely worth watching 100%. So take that as you will. Certainly, it's difficult subject matter to check.
Yeah.
And certainly, if you like Michael Jackson, it's going to redefine a lot about what you think about him.
I think I'm like the only one who doesn't believe he did these terrible things. So I will watch it. I know his family is suing HBO. Mm-hmm. I saw that in the news, saying this is none of this.
$100 million. Yeah. So they certainly disagree with it. But at the very least, I think it's one of those things that you do have to watch and then make up your own mind.
Sure.
And I wonder if things could change. Like, look at the whole R. Kelly thing and look at what's changed since that hit the airwaves. Isn't that terrible? We have to solve things via television now.
Yeah. But in this case, of course, Michael.
We've talked about this before, but it gives a big, wide platform to these things that have been bubbling under the surface. So if something does need to come to light, however it does come to light, I think is ultimately okay.
True. So true. Alex, thanks so much. Have a great weekend. We'll check in with you in a week.
You too. Thanks so much, guys.
It's Alexander Zeldman. He's the managing editor of Decider.com. That's the website to visit. We'll take a quick break, get you some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.